Wouldn't it be nice not to have to use the term men's health? And why do we even need a specific focus on men's health? Well, the short answer is us men do a much poorer job of looking after ourselves than women. We don't self-report health issues anywhere near as well and often struggle to ask for help even when we know we need it. But there are some really brilliant efforts to change this though, and I've been privileged to be involved in one event in 2021 and 2022 that is helping men to be vulnerable, to open up about their feelings and to bond together for their own well-being and their mates too. It's called the Men's Muster.
My name's Craig, I'm from Fiordland. I'm a signwriter here. Came to the Men's Muster so I could hopefully improve my health and learn about the mental side of the men's health. I got quite a bit out of this. Probably come back next year. But one of the key things is I wanted to lose weight and I didn't know how to do it. I've tried it numerous times, but from hearing a lot of the speakers and things this weekend, it sounds like just starting small and working your way up is the way to go. So I really appreciate it this weekend.
I have a lot to say this morning, and that is because I was part of what I think was something that was pretty damn special over the weekend and also last week. It's called the Men's Muster, and this was in Tiano in Fiordland. It was the second year of the muster, and I've been to both now. I was invited to speak last year and again this year, and I've come away with just a lot to think about and a lot that I wanted to share with you today. The idea of the men's, this was put together by a friend of mine, Sam McBride. She's a health coach in Tiano, and she's put this together with a few of her friends in the area, a couple of people in their business community who wanted to get something off the ground for blokes. For guys that might need just to open up a little bit and to share some experience and also to have some fun. And it's okay to be a guy. It's okay to be a bloke. And I think for a few men in New Zealand, it's probably a challenging time as far as self-identification goes. What humour is good humour? How am I supposed to be around people? What sort of a father do I want to be? And I think a lot of guys have these questions at the moment. And so the idea with the muster is to get a whole lot of guys together to share stories, to talk, to laugh. Laughing is big. And to learn from the speakers who were there, but also from each other. And I just came away with my bucket completely full. And I was moved emotionally a number of times. You know, we had grown men in tears across the weekend. But we lunched together, we walked, we talked, we rock climbed. We got a chance to do some rock climbing. We pretended we were firemen for a little while. We had that, we had these blackout masks and pretend we were in a room full of smoke that we couldn't see and find a rescue object and bring it back to the front of the fire station. That was a little bit scary. Not the experience itself, but the thought that, yes, this is real for these guys, the volunteer fire brigade, find themselves in those situations where they cannot see and yet they have to go in and look for people and look for objects and to suss out the situation when they can't see in the searing heat of a fire carrying kilos and kilos of gear. So that was a bit of an eye-opener. We pulled tractors. We did all sorts. Like the stuff that we did in that 3 days would be way too big to list here. But we were pushed to our limits physically on the Friday. We had an all-day challenge. That was really tough. There was an orienteering course, but also a whole lot of weight challenges. We had to walk a long way. And also we had to jump in the icy cold Tiano Lake for a cold water swim challenge. And I can tell you, look, for me, I love that. I think I've talked about cold water immersion on this program before. I love that. That was a real highlight for me. But you know what? For a lot of these guys, they were really hesitant about getting into the water. And so a few of them had to wear life jackets for the swim because it's daunting. It can be a little bit intimidating. Freezing cold water that is over your head. And we had some people on the muster who were not particularly experienced when it came to swimming. One musterer said at the end, his greatest achievement of the entire weekend, with some self-reflection, was having the courage to jump into the water and to swim across the bank or to the other side and crawl up the bank. That was his greatest achievement. He was really proud of himself for doing that. We had some amazing presentations and some tremendous speakers. None better for me. No one carried the room like Sir Wayne Shelford, the former All Blacks captain. He's become a little bit like John Kirwan. He's become an advocate for health and for wellness. And, you know, Buck has a tremendous mana. He can hold a room. I've been around few people in my life who, when they talk, you just listen. They just have a presence. It's an amazing quality. And I was talking to another ex-rugby player there, and he said, look at Buck. It's, you can't put your finger on it. He's just got something. And it's an amazing quality. And if you asked Wayne, hey, man, and I got to spend some time with Buck, which was a real privilege for me, some one-on-one time with him across the weekend. And I didn't ask him this question, but if I did, I don't even know if he would have the answer. Why can you capture a room? Why do guys hang on every word you say? And obviously being a legend of the most popular sport in New Zealand goes some way to answering that question. He's got something that a lot of these other guys don't have, and I don't think he could put his finger on it. But when he talks, you listen. He's well-read on men's health. He's extremely well-read on some science behind behavioral change and diet and exercise and mental well-being. And he just, the message that he gave across to these guys was, without pointing fingers, without beating them around the head with a stick and lecturing them, was, guys, you need to take ownership of your own lives, because if you don't, no one else will do it. It was a real follow me kind of an approach. He spoke about his own battle with cancer and shared a couple of pretty grim stories about friends of his who aren't around anymore, and also people close to him who have gone through a little bit. And I think it just landed really well. It resonated. And at the back end on the Saturday, this is Wayne Shelford, the man that brought real prestige back to the haka in the mid-1980s. With a few other guys, Case Muse included, the former All Blacks prop, they performed Kamate Haka right in front of us, and it was spine-chilling. It was really emotional. You had Wayne Shelford there just giving it everything he had, blasting out everything he had in that haka at age 66. And it was very, very moving. There were guys who were in tears. I had the privilege, and I think it was that, to speak to the men about behavioural change and the fact that we have to be our biggest champion. We need to do this. And for men in New Zealand, this is really, really hard. I've worked with many men on this topic, and they still find it very difficult is to be their own champion, to talk to themselves like they would their kids or their mates or their loved ones. They find it really difficult to talk themselves up, to get past that inner self-critic, to get past the negativity bias, and understand that change can only come from a resonant way of thinking, from optimism and positivity. It's the only way you can make great changes in your life is to be optimistic. It's nigh on impossible. I'm yet to see it from someone who beats themselves up and who's in a negative frame of mind, who then goes on to make really good changes. I'm yet to see it. So we talked about that. And one thing that the muster added this year that we didn't have last year was a couple of korero, where we sat around in a circle. One day we sat around in a circle, and a few of the boys had a couple of beers, and we just chatted amongst ourselves. And then on the last day, we stood around in a circle out in the sunshine, and Callum, who was one of the organizers, said, hey guys, here's an opportunity just to share some personal thoughts, some experiences, some highs, some lows, whatever's going on in your life, here's an opportunity. And this there'd be 40 or 50 of us standing around in a circle. And you know what? It only, as you would expect, it only takes one guy to be the first to make a comment, and away we went. And we heard some harrowing stories. We heard some horror. We heard about death. We spoke about suicide. We had guys who spoke openly for the first time about their children who are no longer with us. We heard from search and rescue men who had failed in their task to retrieve people. We heard from guys really suffering from an identity crisis as young as 34, 35 years of age, not sure what they want to do with their lives and are feeling depressed about that. And it was amazing. It really was amazing. And the number of guys who said, look, I've not opened up to speak about this stuff before, but here I am in a circle full of men, I feel safe. It was a safe environment. And that was the beauty of the muster, was they've organically created this amazing environment where men can open up and talk about their feelings. the good, the bad, the indifferent. And man, we had some laughs. You know, the good old Kiwi piss take was there for all to see, and we reveled in it. So that was my biggest takeaway to come to. If I've been to two of these now, and I sat there last night with some self-reflection, and I thought, what's my biggest takeaway from the men's muster? And this is it, because we've spoken about this before on our program, and with the farming community in particular. Grown men want to talk. They want to share their feelings. They really do. They want an outlet. And not only that, they know that they need to do it, that they need to share their feelings. They need to offload. They need to talk. They need to allow people into their lives to help. They know that. And the second part to me that really was quite striking is environment is enormously important. What is the environment that we are creating to allow ourselves the courage and the boldness and the bravery to speak up? And the men's muster in Te Anau has created an environment where guys felt safe and secure and acknowledged and listened to speak up and to come forward. And they would not have done that if they were at home in a different environment. So guys want to talk, but the environment has to be a key part of that. And, you know, it was really, really powerful stuff. You know, and we all need to laugh. We need to laugh, and we need to laugh all of the time. We need to laugh as often as we can. It's an inbuilt stress relief. We know that. So it was just an amazing weekend. And, you know, personally, I just wanted to thank Sam and the team for having me, allowing me to speak, allowing me to be part of it, allowing me to listen. And I don't think it's an overstatement to suggest that men would have walked away from that weekend with the needle having been moved for personal change in some sort of capacity. You know, there might have been a few guys there who are going really well in life and don't really need to lean in on each other at the moment, and that's great. But for a lot of the guys there, you know, I got the chance to speak to a number of them across the weekend just in a one-on-one personal capacity, just starting to open up, starting to talk, and a lot of them are dealing with some terrible demons and some terrible hardship, and they are struggling and they are battling and they are looking for answers. And I really think the muster might have just been able to give them a few.
G'day, name's Josh. I'm here from Bay of Plenty. I've come along to the muster supporting my friend Leighton. Sadly lost my younger brother to suicide not long ago, and just thought this was a good place to take something away in terms of bettering myself and working through my trauma, my problems, meeting a bunch of blokes who are going through their working through their problems, and what a place to come, what a place to learn, and what a great bunch of guys to have met and better ourselves together.
The men's muster really is very special, and I'm really looking forward to being involved in the 2023 edition later in the year. Check out last year's highlights on Facebook, and you can learn more at mensmuster.com. Well, in 2020, Craig Bullock established a charitable trust called Mates Matter and set up a page on Facebook to share his own story of hardship, depression, and suicidal thoughts. The Mates Matter page has grown into a true wellness hub and available for all men who need help. I asked Craig what was the driving factor for him to start up Mates Matter.
I mean, for me, it's been a journey. I guess that I was one of the horrible statistics that we hear about year in, year out around suicide. I was at that point where I didn't believe I could carry on, that the best thing I could do for my family, for my loved ones, was to take my own life. And unfortunately, it was on my mum's 60th birthday, and this is how sick I was. I thought that the best birthday present I could have given to her was for me to take the pain away from her. Because what I was putting her through was hell, to be honest. But I was saved. And it was a are you okay question conversation with my brother. A lot of tears, a lot of hugs, a lot of aloha. They got me through that day. And I vowed from that day that I wanted to obviously save myself, but help others, especially blokes, to open up, to have those conversations, to put their hand up and say, I'm not okay. My son turned 5 yesterday, and my why about why I do a lot of the things I do is because I want him to grow up in a world where it's okay for him to come talk to me, to talk to his mates, to talk to his mum, to talk to counsellors, anyone, and say, I'm not okay, to say, hey, I'm struggling with stuff. And this is the stuff I'm talking about, sort of thing, rather than, I guess, talking about, even though we love talking about the rugby, the football and things like that, it's going in that next level and having those conversations and showing that, hey, being vulnerable is actually a strength, and being able to open up and say, I'm not okay, I need help, is something that I believe that us blokes in Aotearoa struggle with, because we're fixers, that number 8 wire mentality. We love to fix things, and the thing that we struggle with is going, actually, I need to ask for help. I mean, I do it all the time as well. It's sort of when I'm trying to do stuff, it's like, no, I can do it. But now I've realized that, hey, I can open up. And it's not a weakness. Where back then, it was that stigma and things like that. So it's sort of, I guess for me, the journey's been long. It wasn't an overnight fix or anything. And I work on my well-being every day, because I have to, because I have a mental illness, and I'm not ashamed to say that. And my diagnosis will never define me, but my diagnosis has helped me do some awesome stuff and get to meet some awesome people and hopefully pave the way for others.
So your view of your diagnosis is a hell of a lot different now than it was at the time when you said that it really almost broke you.
It did. And I walked out of the doctor's surgery the day that I was diagnosed with medical depression with my little brown bag of Prozac, got into my car, sat there, bawled my eyes out, because I thought, because this is what society taught me, that I was half the man I was when I walked in, because there was that stigma around it being a weakness, that, hey, now I've actually got a mental illness. But what I realized now is that, hey, it's an illness. We all have it. Everyone's got mental health. Everyone's got physical health. And we can all work our way through all the ups and downs through life and everything like that. So, like I say, I now look at it as a blessing in a way, to be honest, because I believe that what it's done has been able to help me help others.
Yeah, and you're probably now seen as a thought leader in your community and in your wider sphere of influence. Have you found that? And have you found more particularly guys just leaning on you and wanting some time and some space?
Yeah, and I guess it's for me is the fact that I'm just an everyday Joe Blow Kiwi bloke that has a story to tell, not dissimilar to so many others out there. We have the amazing people like Sir John Kerr, Mike Kings of the world. We have all these guys that are up there that are really talking about it. But we don't really hear from the bloke that we're sitting next to in the workplace, their story, when these stories are everywhere. So I just felt like, hey, I'm just if people want to listen to my story, if they want to take something from it, then that's cool. And a thought leader, I don't know. I just talk about what I went through and how physical activity helps me. But whether people lean on that or it gets them thinking about, hey, there are things that I can be doing to help myself.
You said before that you work on your mental well-being every day. I think you've just given us a hint there that exercise is big for you. How does that help, and what else do you do?
I mean, for me, it's I know my triggers as well. So I know winter sucks. Winter really sucks.
Does it what?
Oh, I know that probably end of June, July, when we're in the deepest, darkest parts of winter, I will struggle. I will that black dog that I've got in its kennel outside, it starts to sort of rumble and growl and wants to get back in. But I know that I've got the tools, whether it's physical activity, whether it's taking time for me as well. It's the deep breathing exercises, but physical activity is what pretty much saved me to begin with. I talked about JK earlier. It was around the time that he came in and the adverts came on TV that physical activity saved him. Seeing him talk about that, childhood hero of mine, talk about that, I was like, wow, maybe it could work for me. And I bought a pair of shoes and went for a run. and that first run was absolutely terrible. But it was just those, I guess, that the endorphin sort of clicked in. It's like, well, actually, this really does help. And now I use my running, my cycling, swimming as a technique to decompress. So if I had a really hard morning at work and things like that, people know that I might go AWOL for 30 minutes. It's because I'm going for a run around the block, because they'll know then that I'm going to get the best out of myself, and I'll be the best version of myself in the afternoon. So it's just a matter of, it's just finding those things. I mean, yes, I've done Ironman, which was absolutely crazy, but I loved every minute of it. But I say that it's just finding the right tools that work for you. Not physical activity is not going to work for everyone, but I do believe getting out into nature, getting some fresh air in your lungs and things like that, it could be just a 10, 15 minute walk around the block, is something that will help.
I love this hashtag, it ain't weak to speak. And that's so appealing to me as a man in New Zealand, and as a male, I know what you're talking about. I think with blokes, where we just, I think most guys want to be able to express themselves and to talk and to unburden. And I think for a lot of us, we just struggle to know how to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And I definitely did and still see and still do sometimes struggle with it. But it's like having those mates, having those blokes around you that you know you can rock up to, whether you're out playing golf, whether you're out in the footy or wherever you are, you can sit next to and have those conversations. But what I would say, it ain't weak to speak, but it's also when you're, if you're asking, if you sense something about someone, whether it's, it might be something you've seen or something that you've heard with them, or you know that there's some stresses going on in life, ask them about it. It shows you care. I think too often we do ask the are you okay question and just leave it there. It's rather than going, are you okay? It's, well, are you okay? Because I've noticed, hey, you're looking a bit disheveled lately, or hey, I've heard you saying this. I know there's a whole lot of stuff going on in your life. Are you okay? Because I care and I'm here. If you want to talk, we can talk. If you don't want to talk, I'll sit next to you, sort of thing. It's just being that, because I know, and sometimes when we try and talk, we don't express ourselves in probably the way that we're not as eloquent as females, I guess you could say. And we sort of struggle with that trying to go, actually, how do I portray my feelings? Mm. It doesn't matter, as long as you're sitting there and walking along with someone or being able to talk to someone about it. And it's not even a mate. I guess one of the saving graces for me was going to counselling and having that and being able to open up to a professional. And that was one of the best things I could have ever done. I talk to groups about my journey. And it is, I talk about the very first session that I had. And what it did was, because when I was hit rock bottom, the things that I lost were the things that I was passionate about. And what counselling helped me with putting the structure back into my life, to the point of having breakfast, having lunch, having dinner, and getting up out of bed, because those are little goals, and goal setting was another massive thing. And it's even getting out of bed some days was a goal, and being able to tick that off, making my bed, another goal, tick it off. Because every time you tick off a goal or whatever it is, you get that, it's that little kick that you get. And you just build on that. You just grow. Yeah, you might have a big, hairy ass, audacious goal. For me, it was Ironman, but there's no way that I was going to go from 120 kg beer swilling, pie eating, someone who couldn't run between two lampposts to doing an Ironman. I needed those little tiny goals in there, because if I'd gone, right, I'm going to go from zero to hero, I would have just into custard. That's me. I mean, I'll talk about how many times do we do a New Year's resolution when we go, right, I'm going to do this, and this. And on January the 5th, that's gone out the window. Because we need to be accountable. We need to tell people. Sometimes it's too big a goal. We need to make that smaller. We need to tell people as well. So it's all these different little things that I, whenever I do set goals, I always do to make sure.
And we know too, the reason why a lot of people don't fulfill their goals or their ambitions with New Year's resolutions, because they're not specific enough. So we exactly. need to make our goals specific when it comes to those. I wanted to ask you, Craig, about the New Zealand Charitable Trust, the Mates Matter NZ Charitable Trust, what you've been able to establish, and I know that you've got big hopes for it. What would you like to achieve?
Yeah, I guess our vision, and I guess it all started off as the pipe dream. It was like, right, if I can, I've helped myself, I want to be able to help others. And I just got sick of all the talk about stuff. We've got to do this, we've got to do that. And I was like, why isn't someone doing it? So I just thought, bugger it, I might as well, I'll give it a go. Our vision for the charity is to build life-affirming communities, connecting people. So it's around that connection. And the way that we're planning on doing it, the way that we're going to be doing it is providing resources and training programs, profile raising activities around mental wellness and support for everyone in Waikato. And it's whether it's a two-day mental health first aid Aotearoa program where you get given the skills to be able to have those tough conversations with someone, to having a website that's just full of resources to help yourself and help others. It's just a matter of being everything just being accessible for everyone. And for me, it's just being able to reach the wider community, whether it's the farmer that lives 30 kilometers away from his neighbor who doesn't see anyone for days on end sort of thing, to the business owner in town here that's work 24/7, that doesn't get that time for himself. And it's just being able to give resources to anyone and everyone, male, female, young, old, to be able to support. Because I think, like I say, there's that talk around, hey, we've got to be doing this, and this, but there's not enough action behind it. And the last thing, I guess the major thing is we want to be a hub. We know that there's brilliant organisations out there, and we all are doing some awesome stuff. It's like, well, let's all just work together. And it's like, I mean, this isn't the charitable trust isn't about making millions for me. It's about helping and saving people, to be fair, at the end of the day. So it's if we have a program, if someone else has a program that would be benefited for someone, we'll pass that on to the people. So it's all about working together as the community.
And Craig, on your tough days, what do you do?
Have conversations. The tough days I'm thankful for are still a few and far between. And I know that, but I guess I know they're coming. My family knows they're coming. So they give me the space, they give me the time, they ask me the questions. I get out on my bike, I go for a run. I have that time when I can decompress. And I know full well that I can get through them. There's going to be those tough, brutal times in life, because it's life. You have those ups and downs, but I know that I will get through them. There are ways to get through them. I've got a kitty full of all these different tools that I can use, yet physical activity, reading books, right? If one doesn't work, I can move on to the next. And it's just making sure that kitty is always full. And I'm always wanting to hear and learn about others.
Yeah.
I know full well that, hey, if that kitty ends up being empty, the next thing along is not a good space, because that's when you start getting into the alcohol. That's when you start getting into the dangerous coping mechanisms, which I've been there and never want to be again.
Yeah, I'm yet to hear any single person ever say, oh, I think my toolbox is too big.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. I love hearing about others, what others are using it. And I think that the big thing now is breathing and stuff like that. And I just love hearing about different techniques and trying them out. Hey, it might not work for me, but geez, I gave it a go. Because I know if I ever get an injury and I can't run, I'm going to have to turn to something else. I love reading. I love reading about people, just awesome people, just autobiographies and things like that. One day, one of my dreams is to write a book about my journey. I know there's going to be more chapters to come in the next years and years to come. So, hey, whether anyone, well, I guess my mum and dad might buy it, but I don't know if anyone else will. But it's just one of these things that, hey, it's those goals. But also, and I guess in the bad days, I do look at the goals. I go, right, hey, what have we got? What can we do now? What can we break down? Or even just chunking down those little days and go, right, what have I done today? What can I be appreciative about today? And there's always good in the day somewhere.
Craig Bullock on Take It From Us. Please look at the Mates Matter page on Facebook. And if you or someone you know is struggling, please reach out to the Mental Health Foundation of New Zealand, mentalhealth.org.nz. Take It From Us is produced by Karen Murphy. Our sound engineer is Paul Hannon at Planet FM and is hosted by me, Kent Johns. We're proudly supported by Ember Korowai Takatini. You can follow the show on Facebook. Please leave us a note. We'd love to hear from you.